listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up, it's fall migration season in Wisconsin, and we'll find out which birds are passing through the skies overhead.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. This week, we've got a sneak peek at some of the possible cuts that could make their way into Governor Scott Walker's state budget next year.
There's also continued fallout from last week's major investigative report from the Guardian newspaper, which published 1,500 pages of leaked court documents from the John Doe investigation in Wisconsin.
And the city of Milwaukee landed a big grant this week aimed at addressing trauma after civil unrest. Robert Mentzer joins us each week at this time to round up some of the top state news stories. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. Rob, thanks as always.
Hey, thanks.
Rob, state agencies submitted their budget proposals this year with a twist. There's this new state law that requires them to say, okay, give us what you want, what would stay the same, I guess, and just for the heck of it, show us what it'd be like with a 5% cut.
Sure.
So talk about this new law and what we saw here.
Yeah, it's a strange thing. Somehow the focus goes straight to those cuts, huh? Yeah. So this is what the new law requires, and these came in from the departments this week. They range, right? There would be cuts of $4.6 million to the Department of Public Instruction, which do include some that would come out of schools. The Department of Justice put forward a proposal that would eliminate 27 state prosecutor positions. That's worth $2.4 million. The Department of Transportation had a bunch of proposals, as you would expect, less money for road maintenance. They would reduce the amount of salt the department buys for roads in winter. And something that I personally might not have thought of, they would eliminate the requirement that cars have a front license plate. Maybe that would fix the budget situation. Who knows?
Yeah, and so this new law, what was the thinking there behind saying, don't just give us the budget you want, give us this, what it might look like with cuts?
Well, so, I mean, I think of it, there is some defense to this, right? If these departments need to be looking for efficiencies and improving their systems, then there could be an incentive for them to, if they have to put forward a budget that includes 5% cuts, that they might have to think creatively about how they organize their budgets. On the other hand, as has been pointed out by some critics at the time that law passed, and now that these budgets are actually forward, in some ways the incentive from the departments is to make it look like if they had to cut 5%, it would be the end of the world, right? So there's some question about how much in good faith some of the budget proposals were put forward. Like, how does it sound politically to cut 27 prosecutors?
Right. Some lawmakers, especially Republican lawmakers, are saying, hey, you're not doing this right. You're trying to lay down a worst case scare tactic, in effect.
Right, exactly. And another example of this is the way that, it's just everything's sort of interconnected, so it's not simple. There, cuts at the state level very often can increase pressure at the local level. So you see this in the way that we've seen a huge number of school referendums happening across the state. And you see this in one of the proposals put forward from the Department of Corrections that would require counties to pay almost half the cost of probation and parole programs. So that would, quote unquote, save the state $54.7 million to the Department of Corrections, but it doesn't really save, it doesn't really reduce the tax burden. It just goes to the county level.
And this, I was going to say, Rob, this, of course, is an early stage here. This is a proposal. The governor doesn't have to put it in his budget proposal. The legislature doesn't have to agree with his budget proposal. There's a lot of steps yet to go here.
Right. Exactly right. Exactly right. It's very hard to know that whether any of this will become policy, but I guess it's sort of an opening. It's part of the continuing process of gearing up as state government gears up for the big budget process.
Talking to Rob Mentzer from USA Today Network, Wisconsin, looking at some of the big stories around the state this week. Milwaukee's Office of Violence Prevention got some good news, a big grant aimed at addressing trauma and promoting resiliency in high-risk youth and families. What kind of things are we hearing that this grant might do in Milwaukee?
Sure. So $5 million for a five-year grant. This grant itself, this federal grant, is designed for communities that have experienced civil unrest, and Milwaukee has. So it's going to go to largely community partners, grassroots organizations that work with youth, work with families. One of the programs is one that provides jobs for young people ages 16 to 24. Another big thing that the grant will be used for is to train after-school program providers on what is called trauma-informed care, which is basically a way of trying to connect with and help young people who have mental illnesses or have, you know, suffer post-traumatic stress or other types of stressors that affect child welfare.
This is an issue we're going to cover more on the show, I think, but the idea here isn't, here's a $5 billion grant, invent a whole bunch of new programs. It's to support a lot of stuff that is either happening or in the works already. Do I have that right from what you're saying?
That's exactly right. I mean, and it's largely the design of it is to pass through the Office of Violence Prevention in Milwaukee to these grassroots programs that are already in existence, and they already work with a number of these programs. So the hope is that they can these existing organizations can expand their programming and reach more kids or add more tutors or whatever it may be.
And let's move on to last week's big story, which is still echoing this week, that dump of documents by The Guardian magazine on the John Doe investigation, looking into Governor Scott Walker's campaign and outside groups like the Wisconsin Club for Growth. And now that group, they're the target of complaints being taken to the IRS. What's going on there?
Yeah, big story, right? So it's still going this week. In essence, one of the key things that were shown in those documents is that Governor Scott Walker was doing direct fundraising for the Wisconsin Club for Growth. There were emails showing talking points on how to get these rich conservative donors to write big checks to the Club for Growth. There were emails where Walker was boasting about that he had scored big donations for this organization. So, there's no debate at this point that this was what was happening. So, did it violate the law? Maybe. This week, the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, the nonprofit watchdog group, filed this complaint saying that the Club for Growth had provided a private benefit for Walker's campaign and for the Wisconsin Republican Party. And what this comes down to is that the Club for Growth is a tax-exempt nonprofit. So the deal that they have, the deal the government makes with a nonprofit is you can be exempt from paying these taxes as long as you promote an issue and not a political party, not a particular candidate. So if they put out an ad that says taxes are bad, that's an issue. But if they're operating as an arm of a campaign, then, you know, that's not legal.
There had been complaints in recent years that the IRS had given too much scrutiny to conservative tax-exempt groups, and there's still action in Congress on that, trying to impeach IRS officials. Is the IRS expected, when experts look at this, to take this up and run with it?
Yeah, very hard to say, but I would think that due to those controversies in 2013, that it would be difficult for the IRS to do that. It also is, I mean, to be fair, it also is quite squishy. What is the boundary between between an issue and a politician, right? If the Club for Growth is, organized around reducing tax rates, this is like a major plank of Republican politicians. It is legitimately hard to referee the exact point at which an issue ad becomes partisan activity. Most people would say that, well, I mean, you know, who are you kidding? Like, at some point, the Club for Growth is well aware of what it's up to here, and that's probably true. But as a strictly legal matter, I don't think anybody quite knows yet.
And the Wisconsin Supreme Court has ruled on this, completely shut down the investigation. It's all completely done, asterisk, unless the U.S. Supreme Court decides to pick it up. And they're expected to review the case, I understand, on Monday.
Is that soon? Oh, man. This is the story that keeps on rolling.
Yeah. So, I know you don't have mind reading ability for U.S. Supreme Court justices, as far as I know. But any over unders on how likely it is they're going to take that up?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dial up my eight closest Supreme Court justice friends, and I'll report back. Oh, let's say maybe like Tuesday.
All right. Well, let's move on to one quick bonus question here, Rob. The MacArthur Foundation, they give out this, they call it the Genius Grant. They don't. Everybody else does. And somebody in Milwaukee got one among the 23 winners. A lot of money, a lot of prestige here. Tell us about her.
Yeah, theater artist Ann Basting is a genius. She is a she's at the University of Milwaukee, and she is officially a genius, according to the way that everyone except the MacArthur Foundation refers to the award, for working in theaters in theater on responding to the challenges of aging and dementia with creative engagement. What she does is hosts improv storytelling and poetry nights for older folks, people who are suffering from dementia, and runs a nonprofit called Time Slips that makes the methods available and trains nurses and folks in nursing homes all over the state to work on this. So that's cool. She's a genius.
And we have talked to her on Central Time and elsewhere on the Ideas Network. If you want to hear more about Ann Basting, go to WPR.org and search our archives for Basting, B-A-S-T-I-N-G. Rob, thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Thanks a lot.
That's Robert Mentzer, storytelling editor for the USA Today Network, Wisconsin, based in Wausau. He joins us every Friday to round up the top state news stories of the week.